This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Siebertson. The continuing federal government shutdown is affecting some air travelers, says ABC's Morgan Norwood.
Weather and staffing shortages continue to cause travel disruptions and delays across the country. According to the FAA, nearly 50% of major air traffic control facilities are experiencing staffing shortages, and nearly 80% of air traffic controllers are out at New York area facilities.
There is a search for suspected shooters in Minneapolis. Police say one person was killed, two others injured overnight in the city's Dinkytown neighborhood. The police chief says officers responded to sounds of automatic gunfire near the University of Minnesota campus. Game 7 of the World Series tonight in Toronto. The Blue Jays look for the first World Series title for them since 93. The Dodgers try to become the first team to win back-to-back championships in 25 years. Most Americans will set clocks back 1 hour before a Betty Bye tonight. Daylight savings time ends. This is ABC News. More than 30,000 people have been forced to leave their homes after the Sudanese army clashed with paramilitary forces in the western Sudanese city of El Fasher. ABC's Marcus Moore.
Abducted for ransom or executed, they fled for safety. And this war has been raging now for more than 2 years. The National Army is locked in a fight against the Rapid Support Force, or the RSF paramilitary group. And aid agencies have said the humanitarian crisis there is worsening, with Al-Fashir surrounded and families cut off from basic supplies. A famine was declared there more than a year ago, and aid groups are calling for civilians to be protected as this war rages on.
Federal health officials say there are 2 new deaths and 7 new cases of listeria linked to a September recall of prepared pasta meals. The recall covers prepackaged pasta from California-based Nate's Fine Foods. Health officials warn customers to check their freezers and the FDA website about it. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Busted pencils, fully lettered education talk.
You know, one of those things, and speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny.
You
know,
of course I did.
I got it together, put up a little outline. You know, the suggested title, AI, Apocalypse or Opportunity?
Well, I can guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts and at civicmedia.us.
Like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Over the air and on the web, WRCE is your home for real news and great conversations through Richland Center. Learn more at WRCE.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. SNAP in Wisconsin, it's called Food Share, has officially run out. Nearly 700,000 Wisconsinites rely on the program to eat. That's 12% of the people in our state. About 60% of households here who use Food Share have children. Now, Wisconsin has joined a lawsuit attempting to force the Trump administration to continue the program during the government shutdown. The suit was filed in Massachusetts and includes at least 24 states. The USDA very recently changed its guidance, saying emergency funding cannot be used to keep the program going. However, that's the opposite of what they said until just a couple weeks ago, and that's exactly what's happened for decades during government shutdowns. In 60 years, SNAP has never run out until now. Meanwhile, officials in Milwaukee have come up with a plan to feed people. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Milwaukee's mayor is calling on everyone to pitch in as the city and the county launch a major food drive during the ongoing government shutdown.
While things are not going the way that they should in Washington, Milwaukee refuses to wait. We're going to take care of our own. That's why all these folks are assembled with me today. So I'm asking everyone who can, let's step forward and prevent children in our community from going hungry.
The goal is to come together and help neighbors who've lost access to federal food aid. Donations of canned goods and cash are being collected at multiple spots across Milwaukee, from libraries to community centers. Local groups Nourish MKE and Feeding America are helping distribute the food to families who need it the most.
Anyone who doesn't know where their next meal will come from can dial 211 to be connected to resources. You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Great conversation right to your inbox. Subscribe to WRCE's newsletter and never miss the stories right here in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some scattered showers possible today, a high near 45. Becoming mostly clear tonight, a low around 27. Mostly sunny, a high near 51 on Sunday. Another chance of rain Sunday night with a low near 39. Monday, sunshine with a high near 57.
Currently 42 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
It's Sound Off Monday on the Maggie Dawn Show. Join me and Tom Paulsiewicz as we dig into the big news of the weekend, including Governor Evers declaring a state of emergency in response to the shutdown.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and today we have a conversation that Wisconsin needs to hear. And just like Zora and Mamdani right now in New York, this could very well be the barometer for left-leaning politics all across the country. My guest is the very exciting State Representative Francesca Hong. She's making history yet again. Already the first Asian-American member of the Wisconsin legislature, she's now running to become Wisconsin's next governor in 2026. But if you're familiar, this isn't your typical gubernatorial campaign. Fran is calling herself the wild card, and she means it. She's a chef, she's a bartender, she's a dishwasher, she's a single mom, and of course, she's a state legislator. She's the daughter of Korean immigrants, who built her life from the dish pit to the state capitol. And now she's bringing that varied and incredible perspective to one of the most wide open gubernatorial races Wisconsin has seen in some time. And the entire country is watching. So no pressure, Fran. Whether you agree with her unabashedly progressive platform or not, one thing is clear. Francesca Hong represents a voice that's often missing from our political conversations, the voice of working people who know what it's like to struggle with rent, juggle multiple jobs, and still show up to fight for their community. I am so ready to have this conversation about working class power, what it means to be an outsider in politics, and whether Wisconsin is ready for something, someone different. Well, let's have it. Please welcome State Representative Francesca Hong.
Hi, everyone. Hey, Kristen. It's so great to be here.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Fran, because you really represent a breath of fresh air that I think a lot of people are desperately seeking right now. You've really embraced this title of being the wild card in this race. What does that mean to you? And why do you think Wisconsin needs a wild card, needs you in particular right now?
Well, my candidacy, my campaign is about changing the conversation. It's about helping folks think differently, be more open-minded to what power is in the state, who has access to power, and how we can make sure we have a government that shares power with everyone. I am so excited that we're going to be curious, creative. We're going to be trying new ways to campaign. You're going to see me at spaces that politicians don't often go. I talk about this a lot. I was promised I was going to get to the racetrack with our friend Mark up in Green Bay. I've been doing an amazing cranberry festival. I'm going to hit up bowling alleys and dive bars. And so this is really about a moment of crisis, meeting it with an opportunity for change. And I think working class people all across the state are ready for it.
It's really true. And when you announced your candidacy, you pointed at the Capitol in your launch video and you said a lot of people in that building don't get why it's so hard to get by right now. Now, you're juggling being a state legislator, working service industry jobs, raising your child as a single mom. How does that lived experience, all of that complexity, shape the way that you think about policy differently than career politicians might?
Well, us service industry folks, we're built different. We know how to hustle. We know that even when working hard and things are such a struggle, we care about bringing something great to someone else. And my many years of working as a line cook and an executive chef, working front of the house and back of house, I really learned about how to talk to folks, how to work as a team, what it means to really be in a system. I think restaurants are often an embodiment of and an ecosystem of, you know, a microcosm of what things are like in our society today. And it means, you know, disparities. It's about independent small restaurants struggling against the mega corporations. It's also about taking care of one another and being of service to others. And I will always be of service to others. And I think that's what leadership means to me. And that's what I want to bring to the governor's office.
When you mentioned the restaurant industry, it is such a culture. Are there any other people, do you have any other peers, elected folks, who have the same kind of experience that you have?
I mean, there are a lot of legislators right now who are working multiple jobs. And I think that when you have working class people, not just speaking as the voice of the people, but sharing that platform with others, this is really what being an elected official should be about. And so being a small business owner, too, I'm able to talk to Republicans and Democrats about some of the struggles of wearing multiple hats and really showing up for the job and the folks that you employ. Being a restaurant industry worker means that I've seen the best and worst of humanity. And I'm going to tell you that in that Capitol, there are some folks who are really great about our shared humanity and some folks I wonder about if I really want to be sharing my humanity with them.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. So of the folks that you work with, many of them, as you said, work more than one job. Wisconsin's not a state that has a ton of money flowing into politics, at least on the state level. You have made a pledge not to accept corporate PAC money, and you are not self-funding. You are running a true grassroots campaign. But again, not a lot of deep pockets here in the state. How do you build a winning campaign on that kind of grassroots support alone?
Working class people power. There are more of us than the billionaires, and there are more of us who are we know that the system is rigged to serve the billionaires and mega corporations. And so these grassroots donations, the volunteers, I mean, our average donation right now is around $47, and we have folks donating from all across the state and all across the country. And so if you do the math about how many more of us are working class people who are powering this campaign, you know, that I don't need to take corporate PAC money and not be held accountable to the donors and the big tech and the big pharma. I'm held accountable to the working class people who elect me, the people who care about themselves and their community, and they trust that their governor is going to put those people first every time. And I'll note, too, we've got almost 600 volunteers, and we've only been in this campaign for about 3 weeks. And these volunteers are in Superior, they're in Wild Rose, they're in Janesville, and in towns that I've never heard of in Wisconsin. And so this excitement, this folks ready to be a part of a movement and create change for themselves and their communities to fight back against a system that doesn't work for us, it is so incredibly exciting. And I think it's only going to get more people excited to support us, whether it's with their dollars or with their time.
That is grassroots. 600 volunteers in 3 weeks. Seriously?
We're almost there. And if we had an onboarding call and a Saturday morning Zoom with over 80 people. And I'm like, my heart was so full. We were en route to St. Croix County. And I tell you, even meeting with small groups of people and then showing them that we are part of something much bigger, that this campaign is a movement, folks are stoked and they're amped and they're, as the youth say, they're psyched. their hype.
It feels like a movement. It feels fresh and different. I mean, you already mentioned you're going to some of these places where traditional candidates maybe don't go, bowling alleys. Did you mention a pro wrestling event?
We're getting ready for me to go to these spaces where, like, you know, why aren't folks ready to talk about things that they care about there? Like, I know that there's going to be somebody who cares about their public school, right? Somebody who knows or has a son or a daughter or somebody, a parent who needs additional long-term care opportunities. Folks that need affordable childcare. People are talking about housing, and everyone has a story, and organizing is at its core about storytelling. So why not go to these places where someone might be willing to share their story with me?
Well, let's be real. We are involved with politics. We are paying attention to all of those measurements and the people and all of that stuff, but most people aren't. But they are facing the repercussions of what's happening across the country right now and of the really denigrating working conditions, the wages, the benefits, not being able to afford groceries, which is really hard. So if you go to those places where regular people hang out, you find the regular people and you get to actually hear their voices.
And I think I'm showing up as a regular person. You know, I'm showing up as the single mom where I didn't come up thinking like I was going to work in the state legislature. I came up dreaming about owning my own restaurant and having a family and, you know, figuring out like where I fit. I'm a college dropout, right? And that's okay because I found a space where I really feel like I belong. I want that for every single Wisconsinite.
You are your authentic self, and that's what you are known for being. You, outspoken, not holding back. Even sometimes there might be a little profanity, including in your launch video, but that is how you are. And I think that people really respect that. They're tired of seeing politicians who just show this polished version of themselves and then turn around and are somebody different when they're actually doing the work. But the question is, do you think Wisconsin is ready for a governor who talks real people talk? Or do you worry about being seen as unprofessional?
These are times of fear and chaos, straight up fascism, and folks are ready to meet these moments, and they already are, with courage, with relentless, just like, you know, fight. And I think that we should be meeting righteous anger with righteous anger and then figuring out how to harness that and do something really f-ing cool. And I want folks to know that their politicians, their elected officials, they feel that pain too. They feel that fear as well. But we know that we're going to overcome when we come together and build working class people power, when we build community power, because whether it's in your neighborhood or at your schools, like community organizing at every single level, bringing people together, sometimes with the food and drink is a really great way to connect with folks, you know, to talk about what we're worried about, what we're scared about, and then making sure that we can do something about it and understanding that community care at any level. Every single thing that we do makes a difference. So it might be showing up with a meal for a neighbor. It might be volunteering. It's bringing spaces of joy. This is all part of resistance. There are little rebellions happening everywhere, and we're building towards that big-ass rebellion that's going to help us take down fascism.
And food and drink is always a benefit, always a bonus. Absolutely. For bringing people in.
Absolutely.
What are you hearing on the campaign trail from regular folks that you're talking with?
You know, I think more and more people are understanding that our federal government is one that endorses mass suffering, kidnapping, murder. And they, you know, when you have a government that's endorsing that instead of accessible health care, cheaper prices of groceries, long-term care, childcare, public schools, everyone is sharing a story about one of these issues, which is why we have to meet universal issues with universal policies. So when folks are concerned about childcare or affordable care for, you know, long-term care and better wages for care workers, people get excited when I say, look, the state can do better. The state needs to do more. We should be meeting these issues with a universal policy, because everyone deserves childcare, everyone deserves better housing, everyone deserves cheaper health care, and we can get that done.
I think we can get it done, too. And I'm excited to continue this conversation. On the other side of the break, I'm talking with Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate Francesca Hong about her wild card race for governor. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about your cultural and personal identity and how it impacts your approach to the race. All right. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
John, what are you doing? Get in my car. So why are you walking to work?
Thanks, man. It's these insanely high gas prices. They're draining my bank account. I can't afford to drive anymore.
Dude, don't walk. Just do what I do, because I never pay full price for gas anymore. I use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Oh, wait. You're telling me you get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code PROFIT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code PROFIT. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PROFIT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code PROFIT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Good news! You get an extra hour this weekend. Daylight saving time ends, so remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back, sleep in, and start your Sunday refreshed. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with candidate for Wisconsin Governor, Francesca Hong. We are talking about her wild card campaign and what sets her apart from the other candidates in this increasingly crowded Democratic primary. And Fran, I want to focus on something really unique about you that in many ways defines you, and it's your cultural identity as an Asian American. Your parents are immigrants, and we are living in really fractured times when rhetoric about immigrants is driving much of the Trump administration's actions. How does your lived experience shape your approach to this race for governor of what is arguably the most tightly contested swing state in the entire country?
I am so proud to be a daughter of immigrants, and I think that being able to show up as a mom, as a daughter of immigrants, as a proud Asian American, as a proud Korean, I think that it allows other folks to be proud of multiple identities, that we all get to hold multiple identities. And I also have direct experience with the fear of not knowing if you're going to be able to stay with your family, to continue to be a good neighbor, to be able to work the job that you've worked for to attain, be, in the schools and the classrooms where you're learning more about yourselves and the culture and the neighborhoods that you're living in. And so in a time where there is such deep division, hate, and weaponizing that fear to place the blame of what's been a rigged system in our country on folks who are our neighbors, who have been contributing to our communities, that have allowed us to have such a rich, diverse, you know, cultural experience. When I think about the different foods that I've gotten to eat, the different languages I've been able to hear, I still remember when I was hiking at Devil's Lake and I heard probably at least 6-7 different languages. When I went there when I was a kid, you know, I really didn't see anyone else that looked like me. And so I think these experiences, these identities I hold, they really allow me to celebrate diversity and fight for it and know that every family deserves to be kept together. And so that's why I introduced legislation, Keep Families Together, that helps protect our communities and make sure that the state violence and state-sanctioned violence that's coming down on our communities, that we're all working together to keep each other safe.
As long as you mentioned the legislation that you've introduced, let's talk about some of the other really exciting stuff that you've worked on. In particular, the legislation that you passed requiring schools to teach Hmong and Asian American history. And also you've launched the Legislative Asian Caucus, tripling the number of elected Asian Americans in our legislature in the last cycle. How do efforts like this connect to your broader vision for Wisconsin, how you will serve as governor?
We have the third largest Hmong population in the country, and we're celebrating this year the 50th anniversary of Hmong and Southeast Asian refugees here in our state and in the country. And I think the most, you know, the thing that I love most about being able to pass legislation that would include Asian American history in our K-12 public schools means that our kids now and for future generations are going to be able to see themselves in the textbooks, to feel proud to share their stories, to know that they are, you know, a key part that is like a our woven fabric of what it means to be in Wisconsin. And I think, you know, when you have folks that look like you, who maybe believe like you, who have shared lived experiences, even if we might not like share the same politics, it's important to know that, you know, we can have folks from these diverse backgrounds have access to power, to be in positions of power, to help other folks imagine better. Because I always talk about how with fascism, one of the things that they try to do and the reason why they're trying to divide us, because they don't want us to be able to imagine better for ourselves and the folks in our communities. And so whether it's through legislation that about education curriculum, whether it's about in making sure that we have more elected officials who are from diverse backgrounds, who are Asian American, it's going to encourage folks and let folks know that it's okay to imagine better, that this is what we need to do. And when we have more voices at the table, we have more people with platforms who are going to be able to make sure that other folks have a voice to be able to share their experience and what it means to be in Wisconsin for them.
And for the longest time, actually until you were elected, we had never had an Asian American representative in the state of Wisconsin. You are the first. How has that experience shaped your approach to governance as a legislator and as a future governor?
For me, it's about making government accessible. So I think a lot of folks, they may have seen a candidate come in during election cycle into their communities, give a speech, and then not come back, right? But now they have someone who's in the legislature and someone who is accessible. And it gives me an opportunity to start building trusted relationships for folks who haven't felt like there is representation for them before. And being the first is a great honor, but it means nothing if I'm the last. And so having this caucus now where we can be in kind of an affinity space, but also recognize that the Asian American diaspora is diverse. And just because we represent one ethnic or cultural heritage doesn't mean that we can speak for everyone else. And so these opportunities to speak with communities, figure out what sort of legislation or what they want to see from their elected officials, like these are things that we're going to be able to share with our caucus, with our party, and help them be better representative for the folks with different lived experiences in their districts.
You're a trailblazer, and you are no longer the only one. Now there are three of you.
It's pretty rad. It's pretty rad.
Brilliant. Friends, I am talking with candidate for Wisconsin Governor, Representative Francesca Hong. When we come back, let's dig into your platform a little bit and talk about something else that really sets you apart. Your focus, your love, your experience with the working class people of Wisconsin. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, let's do it. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Don't miss any of the stories that impact your life. Catch WRCE's News Roundup in podcast form. Go to WRCE.fm to subscribe.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The continuing federal government shutdown is affecting some air travelers, says ABC's Morgan Norwood.
Weather and staffing shortages continue to cause travel disruptions and delays across the country. According to the FAA, nearly 50% of major air traffic control facilities are experiencing staffing shortages, and nearly 80% of air traffic controllers are out at New York area facilities.
There is a search for suspected shooters in Minneapolis. Police say one person was killed, two others injured overnight in the city's Dinkytown neighborhood. The police chief says officers responded to sounds of automatic gunfire near the University of Minnesota campus. Game 7 of the World Series tonight in Toronto. The Blue Jays look for the first World Series title for them since 93. The Dodgers try to become the first team to win back-to-back championships in 25 years. Most Americans will set clocks back 1 hour before a Betty Bye tonight. Daylight savings time ends. This is ABC News.
It's the Bucks and the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks at home this evening against the Kings. Milwaukee 4-1. Sacramento just 1-4. The Bucks coming off that win over Golden State Thursday night, 120-110. Giannis was out with a sore knee, so guard Ryan Rollins stepped up, scoring 32 points, a new career high. Doc Rivers:
he's just tough. You know, he's a tough kid, man. And we got a team full of like tough guys, like. You know, resilient maybe is a better word.
Rollins asked, what was it like playing defense against Golden State's Steph Curry?
It was nice. It was fun, man. That's probably the best way I could put it. It was fun just being able to, you know, just coming out with the win and just bumping with him.
A setback, though, for Bucks guard Kevin Porter Jr. He had been out with an ankle injury, and then he suffered a knee injury during a practice, doing damage to his meniscus. It's going to require minor surgery and is expected to be out now at least 4 weeks. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Charlie Sheen has had his struggles on many fronts, but the 2.5 Men star is honest when it comes to not getting one particular role. Sheen and Oliver Stone had talked about him playing Ron Kovic in Born on the 4th of July, and Sheen pretty much thought it was a done deal. But after not hearing from Stone for a while, he heard from his brother Emilio Estevez that Tom Cruise ended up with the role. Sheen said at the time he felt betrayed when he heard the news, and especially when Stone said he thought Sheen had lost interest. Sheen made a point of saying they didn't talk after making a handshake deal for him to play Kovic. Charlie Sheen appears to have no ill will towards Stone these days and praised Cruise's performance as Kovic, adding that he felt it was an Oscar-worthy performance. Cruise was nominated for an Oscar but lost the Best Actor award to the amazing Daniel Day-Lewis. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Main Street to the Capitol in Madison, WRCE is where Wisconsin turns for real news and great conversation. WRCE.fm.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some scattered showers possible today, a high near 45. Becoming mostly clear tonight, a low around 27. Mostly sunny, a high near 51 on Sunday. Another chance of rain Sunday night with a low near 39. Monday, sunshine with a high near 57.
It's 43 at our studios.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Matt and Air on Air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of Civic Media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via texts, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of Civic Media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman. Special announcement coming up in hour number two. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley here with gubernatorial candidate Francesca Hong. She's running for Wisconsin governor, talking about her unconventional wild card campaign and what sets her apart. If you missed any part of our conversation thus far, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts, really pretty much everywhere, Apple, Spotify, and video streaming on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lierley. So check it out. We're in the middle of it right now. And we are really going to lean into the working class piece because, Fran, this has been a huge part of your life. I mean, obviously, you've been working in restaurants. You have been scrapping and talking to people who are just like putting their lives together and living paycheck to paycheck. These are the people that you really represent. But you've also been a small business owner. You've seen it all. So when you talk to your coworkers and your colleagues and your customers, what are they telling you that their biggest struggles are right now?
I think there is an element of despair everywhere. And before getting into specific issues, folks are telling me that they're pissed, that they don't know exactly how to respond to what's going on, that they want to do something, but they're not, you know, they're not quite sure what. What do we do now? And that's when I actually bring it back to the issues, right? That we are way more connected, whether you are a small business owner, whether you are working as an educator or a server, whether you're in a rural area or urban or suburban area, that these universal issues, these meeting these basic needs, whether from housing to healthcare to childcare to paid leave, long-term care and public schools, folks each have a story. They want to build a coalition. Maybe some folks don't know how, but they're ready to have someone who's going to prioritize these issues and center working class people who are experiencing these struggles and really just want to be able to take care of their lives. I heard today that, you know, someone wants government to be boring again, right? Like, folks kind of want to be left alone. They want government out of their life. And it's like, look, if we have these basic needs met, if government is providing the services they're supposed to be, if government is actually a force of good, I think a lot of us would be better off, and we have that freedom to be able to live the lives that we want and to be able to live with dignity and age with dignity.
I think so many people feel that way. They're not thinking government is, you know, politics, it's Democrats and Republicans. They're thinking, I can't afford groceries. I can't afford my health care. And a huge issue in Wisconsin, and you've dealt with this in the legislature, is child care. You've talked about universal child care. You've talked about paid family leave, affordable housing, all of those things that are just bread and butter issues for regular people. But you probably can't get it all done right away when you're elected. So what will you prioritize once elected governor of Wisconsin?
Well, I don't think my priorities are going to change that much. It's about setting that vision of what we can do and the timing in which we're going to be able to do it. The negotiations and the actual governing, that's going to happen too. But we better be starting the conversation as what we all deserve, what we all deserve to have access to, what the state can and should do, right? So universal childcare, the childcare infrastructure right now is incredibly, like, it's decimated. And we have to figure out ways to make sure that it's more affordable, that is more accessible, that our providers and childcare workers have what they need to have successful centers. So, you know, there are, we're looking at options with implementing different types of subsidies, making sure that folks who are living 400% below the federal above the federal policy, they are the federal poverty limit, FPL, all of those folks would be eligible for free childcare. And so we have to look at ways to increase revenue and making sure that the taxpayers have their taxes going to things that they care about, and that we have folks who are at the very top paying their fair share of taxes. And so it's going to take some innovation, but in terms of implementation, whether it's through the budget or through legislation, we better be starting at the top with a vision where it works for everyone, is accessible to everyone, that it's cheaper for everyone, and then negotiate if we need to and figure out timing and implementation. But right now, incrementalism is irresponsible, and starting with that bold vision, working with folks in the legislature to figure out how we can get that implemented as fast as we can, but meeting this moment with urgency, making sure the local governments, that really the policies that they pass at the local level, they hit our families first and what can do. And we need to make sure folks feel the changes and the things that can make their lives better as soon as possible, which is why we have to start with making sure that our local governments have what they need, and that we are starting with universal policies first.
Yes, and creating an environment where people can live their lives, they can afford their daily lives. And one of those things is something that's been near and dear to you. So many things have been near and dear to you, but let's talk about affordable housing. How has that personal experience helped shape your policy proposals?
So I'm a renter in a majority renter city. And I think that, you know, we're watching essentially bad actors, bad landlords not be held accountable. So we need better enforcement mechanisms from the state to make sure that tenants have their rights protected. We have to make it more affordable to build more affordable housing. And housing there is a housing catastrophe right now, which means it's not going to be easy to be able to have affordable housing available to everyone as quickly as we need it to. But there are so many different avenues we can explore, whether it's increasing the amount of public lands to community land trust, to think about co-op housing and what workforce housing needs to be, and how in rural areas, like, can we look more at how we can make sure that mixed use or buildings that are empty, what kind of zoning things do we have to do to make it so that our local governments and at the state level, we'll make it easier to build, we're making it cheaper to build, so that as many folks as possible, at some point, everyone has access to affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. Creative solutions, because this is a problem that is universal. It's all across the state. You're dealing with it in Madison. I talked with a medical student up here in Green Bay. She was telling me that her rent is more than it was when she lived in Milwaukee. I mean, this is Green Bay, Wisconsin. And if you live in Oconto or Wausau, it's even harder to find affordable housing because it's just not there. Yeah. So you are a member of the Socialist Caucus in the state assembly. And in a state that can swing either way politically, how do you talk about democratic socialism with voters who might be skeptical because it's kind of a toxic label outside of Madison? I mean, Democrat is a toxic label in many places outside of Madison, but this one could be particularly challenging.
I get this question a lot, and I'm actually excited to talk about it now because, again, this campaign is about helping people think differently, opening their minds, right? And I'm showing up as the single mom, the person who's still working multiple jobs. I'm trying to make ends meet. I am stressed, and this system is bullshit. And I think then that gives me a lane to talk about how, why can't we have a state where everyone's basic needs are met? And then we say, look, it's rigged because the politicians that we've had before us have served the billionaires and the mega corporations, and they haven't been listening to you and your communities who have been telling us what you need for years, which is more affordable housing, affordable childcare, strong public schools that are fully funded. We're an aging state. Folks need care workers need to have, and caregivers need better wages and good working conditions. We should be a state where you can access and collectively bargain and unionize your workplace. And so there is this opportunity for change. And regardless of my current political identity, my identity as a working class person right now who believes in working class power, that's what I'm focused on, is the issues and the things that matter to you to make sure that you can live a life of dignity, a life where you can care for yourself. And I think that when it comes back to the issues, it's about who I am as a person, as a working class person now, who's going to always fight for working class people.
That all sounds amazing to me as a mom and a doctor who wants my kids and my patients to be able to have access to all of those social determinants that will allow them to live a healthy life. But your Republican opponent is not going to feel that way. And you know that they are going to attack you on your platform of socialist ideology. So how would you respond to critics who say that your policies are utopian and too far to the left?
The policies that politicians, regardless of political identity, have been prioritizing as part of the reason that we are here, because we have allowed the policies that serve the wealthiest few to take control of our lives and the way that we have been trying to live the lives here in Wisconsin as Wisconsinites. And so I think that, you know, Tom Tiffin and I actually, he asked to take a picture with me the other day at a Milwaukee.
Really?
Uh-huh. And so I don't know if that means we're starting off cordial when we're going to have to face each other in the general. But these are folks who don't give a shit about the people. Tom Tiffany has voted for tariffs that hurt our business. Tom Tiffany has voted to take away your health care. Tom Tiffany has voted to take food away from children. And so the things that I am fighting for, universal school meals where every kid has access to a healthy breakfast and lunch, where nobody has to choose between their paycheck and having to go to work sick and not be able to take care of a new baby or a loved one, you know, these are common sense, practical policies that we can do as a state. We just haven't had politicians who have the political will to get it done. And so my background as a service industry worker, as a restaurant owner, as somebody who knows that the dishwashing station is the most important position in a restaurant, I'm always going to have these lived experience inform what I know is what many people agree with me on, are these, that's what they're universal issues. And that makes it so that we need universal policies to be able to address these issues and make sure people have what they need to live dignified lives, where we might have a boring government and government stays out of your life, just like politicians need to be staying out of our hospital rooms. So this is about working class people building power. And when I talk about, you know, what you deserve as a person that I'm going to serve, it opens up the conversation. And we have to change the conversation around who is the villain. And the villain are these politicians who cower to Trump and have made your life worse. And you deserve better.
So it would be great if we in 26 elected a Democratic trifecta, because that's really easy to work with. But it's been very challenging for Governor Evers as a Democratic governor to work with a Republican legislature. How will you do that?
So Governor Evers has done an amazing job, but he's had to, you know, it's governing by goalkeeping. And here's the thing, that regardless of who is in the legislature, I will work with folks who want to make sure that we are passing the policies that are going to improve people's lives. But You know, there's going to be times where these negotiations and conversations aren't going to go well for one party, and it certainly won't be for the people of Wisconsin when I'm governor.
Focusing on the people of Wisconsin, that's always the key. I am talking with the candidate for Wisconsin Governor Francesca Hahn. We've talked about the working class, immigrants, your unconventional approach to this campaign. When we come back, I want to pick your brain for some fun Wisconsin questions. A little culture, a little history. Yep, for that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm here.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Communist Control Act of 1954, it's pertinent to the fight we're in. It's a tool that needs to be utilized, and they need to support the president in obtaining that objective.
Is Joe Giganti right? Does a U.S. law ban the Communist Party? Yes. The 1954 Communist Control Act bans the Communist Party, labeling it a conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government. Though rarely enforced and mostly repealed, it remains law. Harvard Law professor Mark Tushnet said it could still be applied. In June, Republicans urged President Donald Trump to use it against New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani, a Democratic socialist. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Frito-Lays suck.
Fritos? Like, the actual Fritos?
Yeah, the corn ones, you know?
How do you not
they're
like
too Fritos? Salty.
They're salty, but they're corn. They're like the most, I mean, they're the healthiest chip you can have. They're healthy.
Any chips are not great, but those ones to me just taste like salt. I can have one and I'll be like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, but what chip doesn't taste like salt?
Well, I mean, that one's just straight salt, you know?
It's delicious.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I am hanging out with candidate for Wisconsin Governor Francesca Hahn, talking about who she is, what she brings to this race, and so much more. And Fran, before we get to the fun stuff, I want to give you the floor to talk directly to the people. What do you want voters who are working two jobs, struggling to pay rent, and feeling forgotten by the political system to know about you and your campaign?
I get it. The system is rigged, and we need leadership that's fighting to unrig it every single day. And folks are stressed. This isn't just about being able to, like, put food on the table. We know that the problem is actually bigger than that, and it's more complex than that. And No one should have to feel so stressed that they aren't able to take care of themselves and the people that they love. And so having a working class fighter fighting alongside working class people, knowing that we can challenge power, and yeah, that power is going to fight you back. But when there are more of us who are going to make sure that not only are our voices heard, but that we are in the doors, we are heading into that capital as working class people to make sure that the laws that are passed are going to help us and our communities. We can have a cheaper Wisconsin. We can have a more caring Wisconsin. And we can have a Wisconsin that is driven by and powered by working class people, so that a system that serves billionaires, oligarchs, and mega corporations, those aren't the people who are going to have power here in Wisconsin.
And that's our history. We're a proud progressive state. So that's my cute pivot to history. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay. If you could grab any former Wisconsin governor for lunch and pick their brain, who would you grab and why? Any governor.
I'm going to go with Governor Tony Evers. He and I have not sat down for lunch. And I think I would ask him what he did to, like, how he made his decisions, like, the toughest decisions, who he would, you know, who were some of his closest advisors, and even when they're having differing opinions, how did he make the best decision for Wisconsin and himself? And I think that, you know, and I want to know, like, what his favorite flavor of ice cream is.
I think you just have to look on his Instagram page, because he posts it every once in a while. He loves all the ice cream, I think.
That's fair.
He's had a tough time. I mean, you know, he's been the Democratic governor of a challenging state legislature for a long time, and I think there are a lot of lessons learned there. So, hey, I really appreciate that. Lots of knowledge to be gleaned from his tenure. Okay, here's my last question for you. You have to convince somebody to move to Wisconsin using only three things: a place, a food, and an activity. What would you choose?
Nisita, go to Cranberry Creek, Inc., and visit the cranberry bogs. And there is nothing like throwing the cranberries that are in the bogs up in the air. There is no feeling like it. It is pure joy. Food, it's got to be Friday fish fry, and it's got to be perch, and you have to have either an old-fashioned sour or a high life with it. And then what was the third one? I got so excited about cranberry fish fry.
A place of food and an activity.
Oh.
Although fish fry could be food or activity, because... No.
That's true, but I would say even if you can't get in, you got to tailgate at Lambeau. There's going to be somebody who's going to offer you a bowl of chili. There's going to be folks who are just coming out with a whole, like, gourmet spread. You're going to see a whole, like, a lot of different, like, spreadable cheeses to, you know, so many different types of encased meats, from hot dogs to Polish sausage to bratwurst. And so the tailgating part is in itself a really beautiful culture. And I think every single person's got a tailgate at Lambeau.
That is one of my favorite things to do, because I live fairly close, so I can ride my bike down there and tailgate. And then I ride back, because I usually don't have tickets, and just listen to the game as I'm riding. And it is like just hearing it and smelling it and the friendliness, and even how the opposing teams, the fans of the opposing teams, get sucked into that culture, because there is something really beautiful and delightful about the people of this state and how we come together, even maybe even especially in hard times, to support each other and to find a way forward.
Absolutely. This is about building community and finding community, especially in these times. And I think that, you know, when we come together around a table, we talk a lot on this campaign about sharing the table. Tailgating at Lambeau is a part of that. You're bringing folks together to be in a space of joy, which is in itself a form of resistance. You're sharing a meal, you're sharing drinks. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, not everyone hates the person who's making them dinner and drinks. And so if you got to start a conversation that way, that's how I started so many conversations. Even had some Republican staffers in my restaurant. And we were able to get a conversation started. And so that community conversation, and knowing that we are all part of this resistance together and that we get to celebrate and have moments of joy, that's part of Wisconsin.
It sure is. If somebody listening today wants to get involved with your campaign, wants to join the movement, or just wants to learn more about your platform, where should they go? And don't forget to mention your socials.
Yes, www.francescahong.com or at Francesca Hong WI. You can Google me and see some of the spicy tweets that I've put out as well.
That is true. And what's the one thing you want people to remember from our conversation today?
Being a wild card can be a really good thing. I think wild card means that you can put it down and get a whole lot more for your cards.
Being a wild card is a really good thing. You heard it from Francesca Hong herself. Fran, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Always so much love to you, Abe, and everyone up there.
Thank you, my friend. Francesca Hong, state representative and wild card candidate for Wisconsin governor. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts and check out the video version on my YouTube channel at Dr. Kristen Lyerly. As always, we love your thoughts and feedback on any of the socials, so send me a message. Many thanks to my producer and oldest son, Abraham Lyerly, and Nick Turbin, who wrote the theme song for our podcast. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you next time.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Starting to potentially victimize the most vulnerable in America, the continuing federal government shutdown. Benefits to 42 million Americans from SNAP, the government food aid program, have been cut off. A federal judge ordering the Trump administration to use emergency funds to restore the program. ABC's Jacqueline Lee.
Some states have initiated their own contingency plans using their own supplemental funding to help fund SNAP and to help those residents who really need that extra assistance. But right now, this is a very frustrating and very scary time for many people.
People are searching for suspected shooters in the Minneapolis area after police say one person was killed, two others injured overnight in the city's Dinkytown neighborhood. Most Americans set clocks back 1 hour before bed tonight. Daylight saving time ends. Several people were brought before an investigative judge today in Paris on preliminary charges in the Louvre jewels heist case, say French media. This is ABC News.